The title of my message is First is Abounding in Christ, and I want to welcome the internet viewers. And as you turn to Colossians 2:7, let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for the congregational members, the believers in Christ, Father. I pray, Father, that as the word goes forth this morning, that it finds a place in each of their hearts, Father, as well as in mine. Father, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for the sacrifice in your Son, Christ Jesus, that has made us in right standing with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Abounding in Christ. You know, I'm a handyman, and there's times where I get stressed. I get so many jobs, and I get backlogged for a couple weeks, and sometimes even more than that. And so my wife can tell that I'm stressing. She says, you're stressing, aren't you? And I said, yeah, I am, you know. Because sometimes I try to schedule out a week, a firm schedule, but then if there's a customer that once I get there, that customer will add another day or a day and a half of jobs to the current punch list, and then I have to kind of move my other jobs out. And sometimes I just tell them, you know, I'll be back because I got such a hard schedule with these customers, I can't do that for right now. But in the midst of that, I can abound in worry. I can abound in financial worries. I can abound in stress. I can abound in health issues. There's a lot of things that I can abound in, just as you. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation as common to man has overtaken you. So I know just as I'm reading my mail, I'm also reading or seeing your mail. Because the Word of God does not lie. So in the midst of the stress of daily activities, of having children and concerned about the kids when they go to school, and, you know, just the everyday life issues can just wear you down. We know that Satan's the god of this world. And him being in control of the god of this world, he can manipulate things around and things like that to where we really get distracted. We lose our focus in life, who we are in Christ Jesus. And it can keep us from abounding in Christ. We all want to abound in Christ. We all want to display who Christ is in our life with our customers or with our family, with our friends, relatives, or whoever it may be. So in Colossians 2:7, Apostle Paul says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Rooted, fixed, abound, overflowing, abundant. And there's a number of places, verses in Scripture that talk about abound. I'm just going to touch on a few. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. 1 Corinthians 15:58. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not vain in the Lord. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 8:7. 2 Corinthians 8:7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. And Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So we see a few verses. I didn't list all of them, but I just wanted to get us in the mind focus of abounding in the work of the Lord, abounding in faith, abounding in the knowledge, abounding in the love, abounding in hope. Now, these things are all available to us of being in Christ. But it wasn't always that case. In time past, let's go to Ephesians 2, 11 through 12. Ephesians 2. Because in time past, there was a condition that we were in. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Ephesians 2, verse 11 and 12. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So in time past, as Gentiles, and that's who we are, we're Gentiles, we're not Jewish, we're Gentiles. We were Gentiles in the flesh. We were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh. That was the nation of Israel, because they were circumcised into a covenant relationship with God. That was a sign that they were in covenant relationship with God. We were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Now that's a pretty dire straits, hopeless situation as a person in the world. You know, when Paul, let's go to Acts 17. When Paul was in Acts 17, he went to Mars Hill. And it's kind of interesting because even today, this is still taking place. There's a lot of people that in the world today that are non-believers. And Paul, in Acts 17, verse 18, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hills and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship him, declare unto you. People today that don't believe in God, there's one commercial where the guy says he doesn't believe in hell. He's not afraid to burn in hell. You know, it's a scary thing. That's a bold statement of ignorance, if you ask me. But at that time, in time past, without God in the world, and I think about that today, I'm thinking, man, what? You have nothing to look forward to. You're looking only in the here and now. You know? What's the use of even doing anything if there's nothing? I mean, but God had a secret, the mystery. And Apostle Paul come along. He made Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, an apostle, and dispersed to Paul the mystery. So let's go to Romans 1:1. And I'm just going to give a little history on this before we get into the main verse. Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Romans 11:13. concerning this gospel. Romans 11, 13. For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. And I wanted to share these, some of these verses in case there's someone on the internet that just happened to be on YouTube or going through something and all of a sudden they see my mug on the face and they say, what's this guy talking about? I want to give them something, a little bit of a foundation. Let's go to Ephesians 3, 1 through 4. As I know most of you folks here know these verses and are very familiar with this. Ephesians 3, 1 through 4. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And the last one is Romans 16, 25. Romans 16:25. Now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. So we see that Paul has a gospel. Because this gospel that Paul's talking about is not the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John gospel that mainline Christianity refers to. Gospel simply means good news. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was good news to the nation of Israel, but it wasn't good news to the Gentiles because we were without God, without Christ. Because Paul comes on the scene after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay? So we didn't have that. The Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John gospel is not for us. The gospel that was kept secret, the mystery, is for us. We as Gentiles. Paul was sent unto the Gentiles. Now, the gospel, if you go to Romans 1:16, gospel means good news, but it's more than that. Paul says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The power of God unto salvation, how man can be spiritually dead and come to hear the gospel, the good news, and go from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive, the power of the gospel. That's the power of God. That amazes me. But it shouldn't amaze me. Because why? Because God designed us. He knows what we need. He knew exactly what our inner man would respond to when we approached that gospel and it was delivered to us, to where we would see it and say, you know what? I believe that. I believe that. Apostle Paul's gospel. That's the good news today. Before we was aliens, Commonwealth of Israel, had no hope without God. But today, we have some good news. Let's go to Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8. And I'm just going to touch on a few verses concerning the gospel today. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were aliens of God, without God, no hope, but God commendeth his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a loving God we have. The plan of salvation for us. Romans 5:15. Romans 5:15. But not as offense, so also as a free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Just as Adam took mankind, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they was told they was would surely die. They didn't die. They died spiritually, but they didn't die. They still physically lived on, but they were spiritually dead. Then their children were created in the image and likeness of them. And that's where we all come down through the lineage. So all mankind, when they're born, are spiritually dead. I've talked to people and said, well, Keith, I haven't done anything bad to be saved from. Well, we know that. You know, okay, what else? You know? And I said, you were born spiritually dead. It's not about you. And they said, what are you talking about, spiritually dead? I said, when God created Adam and Eve, He created in the image and likeness of God. After Adam and Eve sinned, their children were born in the image and likeness of them. And so all mankind evolved. And so all mankind is born spiritually dead. So you got to get back to your original state. That's where Paul talks about being regenerated. So when the gospel, the good news comes about, you recognize your need of a Savior. And you respond to that, if you want to be honest with yourself. Now, God has given every man a measure of faith. Now, some people put that measure of faith into some really crazy ideology. You know, you can see it on TV. And it's only going to get worse. As time goes, it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get any better because Satan's the god of this world. You think he's got an agenda that's good? No, I'm afraid not. Romans 5, 1 through 2, and Pastor Rick talked about these two verses last week. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I mean, it amazes me how here we were without God, aliens of the commonwealth of the nation of Israel, without Christ, and how this good news, when we come to believe it, that we're justified, we have peace with God, we have access into this grace wherein we can stand and we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What a plan. And that's just a small section of the good news of the gospel. Man, we'd be here for days if I went through everything. These are just some basic. Romans 5, 9, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. There's a wrath coming, but we're going to be saved from that wrath through Him. Wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5, 18, and 19. Let's read those verses. 2 Corinthians. I have to keep moving kind of fast here to 5:18 and 19. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Man, He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. At one time, we were aliens without Christ, without God, and now we're in the ministry of reconciliation of bringing other people that don't know who Christ is. We have a ministry. All of us have a ministry. Ambassadors. We're representing Christ. Man. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So that's the gospel that Apostle Paul was given. And now I want to get into the text verse, which is Colossians 2:7. So we'll go to Colossians 2:7. But it amazes me, the plan of salvation, the wisdom of God, how took us from a place where we had nothing, hopeless, and has now given us the ministry of reconciliation. What an honor. What an honor. The ministry of reconciliation. Ambassador. We're representing Christ in a foreign country. Because God, Satan is the god of this world. We're representing Christ here. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation to trust us with that ministry of reconciliation. What a calling. What an honor. You know, sometimes we don't see ourselves capable of doing anything. And apart from Christ, we really can't. You know, as a handyman, that requires a skill set of figuring things out and being handy. And there's times, folks, I get in a situation, I'm thinking, how am I going to get this? You know, and I'll think about it, and I'll ponder it a little bit, and I'll think about it, and I say, you know what, I think this will work. This is going to work. And it works out. Now, I give the praise and the glory to God. It's not about me. He created this brain. You know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He's given us, He's designed us to think things through, to do things. And some people's skill set may not be handyman, but they might be writing a program for a computer, which I have no idea what that is. But that's their skill set. And God has designed us to where He wants you to do whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do, but do it as unto the Lord. What an honor. He didn't want us to be robots. That's the beauty. When I think about God creating mankind, He gave them free will. Just think about that. If you created something, and then the very thing that you created turns its back on you, boy, you just want to just wipe it out. And in the Old Testament, there was times where God wanted to do that. But here in the gospel, He's given us a hope. He's given us a hope and the ability to abound in love, in work. So many things for us to abound in. And sometimes we don't see that in ourselves because it's not about us. You know, when I was off in religion, I was always so focused about me. And me can be very depressing. You get up in the morning and you're thinking, man, I failed there. I got to read this. I got to repent of this. I got to go minister to so many people and stuff like that. But it's not about me. We're in right standing with God because of what Christ accomplished on the cross. Just think about that. Every morning you get up, you are in perfect standing before God. Man, I'll tell you what, when I be going to the jobs in the morning, that's what I'm thinking about, that I'm in right standing with God, not because of what I've done, but because of what He did upon that cross. Man, that's a humbling thankfulness that He's given us to have that, to be able to even think that, to know that it's not about me, that it's about what He did on that cross. Wow. So Romans 2:7, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Rooted. You know, you see these trees, they get uprooted in a storm or something. A lot of them are surface roots because they've watered it from the surface. If they didn't have that watering from the surface, those roots would go down deep and it would withstand the wind and stuff like that. That's the reason a lot of trees blow over. Built up in Him. You know, Rick's been teaching out of 1 Corinthians, and here a few weeks ago he taught about being about the building. And let's go to 1 Corinthians 3:9. 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. So we can build wood, hay, and stubble, which is works, man's labor, or we can build the silver, gold, and precious stones that Rick has talked about, that the Word of God talks about. But in Colossians 2:7, it says, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith. So we're rooted, we're built up in Him, the Word of God, and established in the faith. And it says, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So abounding therein with thanksgiving, the therein is you have to be somewhere before you can abound therein with thanksgiving. So when you're built up, you're rooted, you're built up, established in the faith, you have an identity. You know who you are. And the result of that is you can therein be in the realm of thanksgiving. You know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The Word of God is so rich that in the midst of daily stress, of financial, of just life in general, you can be thankful. You can dwell in the midst of thanksgiving. You know, I've got a van, and when I was in the West Valley working on this home, and I had to be there for 3 days to get it ready for the renter to move in after the other one moved out. And I didn't realize my van would fit underneath of the would fit in the garage because I got ladders on top of it, so I left it in the driveway. And the next morning, the neighbor came over and says, I think they stole your catalytic converter. I said, what? And I was out in the driveway that morning, and I saw some bolts on the side of my van. I didn't think anything. I said, well, I wonder where those came from because they weren't there yesterday. And so when I started it up, well, it sounded like a tank. And so I called my mechanic, and he says, Keith, we don't put catalytic converters on. He says, I got a mechanic that can. So I call him, and I drive it down there, and he goes, yeah, we can do it. And so he does it. Well, it's got a warranty, 2 years, 25,000 miles. Well, it wasn't 2 years yet, but it was 25,300 miles. And the engine light comes on, so it's a catalytic converter. So I call him, and he goes, well, Keith, it could be a number of things. It could be the air filter. It could be the fuel pump. It could be, and I hate mechanic stuff on a vehicle. You know, when I was a kid, I changed the oil. I changed the tires, the air filter, some brakes, but I hated it because you get all greasy. I just hated it. So my neighbor across the street, he's a retired Illinois police officer, 25 years, and he loves mechanical stuff, and he's got the tools of three or four mechanics. So he says, hey, we can, you know, let me look at it. So he says, well, you got an exhaust leak here, you got an exhaust leak here, probably need the sensors changed and stuff. So I get the sensors, and he says, you know what, it's the gaskets in your catalytic converter. He said, they're leaking air, and that'll throw your sensors off. So he said, let's start by changing it. He said, only take 45 minutes. Well, two Saturdays ago, we started on it at noon. We finished at 6 p.m. I come in the house. I tell my wife, I says, yeah, 45 minutes, 6 hours later. Well, we had to run all over to get bolts because the other so-called good mechanic put in these small bolts, which compromised it because they bent instead of using the right bolts. So long story short, the engine light, he cleared the engine light. And I drive like 500 miles, and the other day, engine light comes back on. So he says, well, Keith, here's what we're going to do. You got the sensors. I'm going to order the catalytic converter. We're just going to change everything. I said, okay. So that's scheduled for next Saturday. I haven't asked him how long it's going to take because it could take 2 or 3 days. I don't know. But we had a problem with finding the bolts from AutoZone. We had to drive all over the valley to get these particular bolts. So long story short, I'm stressed. That's my work van. okay? And I'm already got two and a half weeks of customers to schedule, and I'm thinking, man, I can't be down. I got to get this thing fixed, you know? So I'm stressing when really I shouldn't be stressing. I should just be abounding in thanksgiving. But you know what? I hit the detour. I took the wrong turn, you know? And that's what our mind wants to do at times, take the wrong turn. We need to realize, now I know that no temptation as common to man has overtaken me. It's common to everybody. So I know I'm reading your mail too, okay? But there's days where I fall really short. When I was underneath of the van, changing the gaskets out, I was very upset. And my neighbor could tell that too. And he's younger than me, but he isn't as in good health as me. So I told him, I'm going to be the gopher. You just tell me what to do, and I'm gonna do it. You know, you just direct me. He's got all the tools. So I did that, but there was a couple times he just had to get his body up underneath of that van, you know. But anyway, I love the guy. So that's next Saturday. Please pray for me next Saturday. I don't know what time we're going to do it, but I hope it's less than 6 hours. So rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, knowing who we are in Christ Jesus, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Let's go to established in the faith, Romans 10:17. Because some people, they say, well, Keith, I don't have faith. And I said, well, read the Word. You know, read the Word. It says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, there's a lot of people, we had visitors the other day, and, you know, it's sad that so many religious people think that God is just behind the scenes, just a pull on the strings. And the lady says, you know, this is a God thing. You know, this is what happened. God was behind the scenes. I didn't say anything. But it's just a coincidence of life. You know, I've tried to get people from religion into right division, and they said, well, Keith, what about this over here? I said, that was just a coincidence of life. God had nothing to do with it, you know? And then the guy says, well, God's blessed me in so many things. I says, oh, he has. Well, what about the time that he was working for this company and you hit a water main and you got fired? Was God behind that? No, you just did it. It was just an accident, construction accident. You know, it seems like I says, you want to pick and choose. You want to pick all the good things and all the bad things you kind of just brush away. You can't. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Colossians 1:23, and Satan loves it. The God of this world, he loves it when he can get believers to take the credit for something that God has done when God hasn't done anything about it, because it's not about us. It's about what Christ accomplished on the cross. Colossians 1:23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. In Romans 5:2, I mentioned this one before. Romans 5:2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Ephesians 6:19-20. And for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Notice that therein, the same thing abounding there into that place, that therein, abounding therein, is in that place of who we are in Christ Jesus. Because of who we are in Christ Jesus, therein, knowing that we're justified, knowing that we're sanctified, totally forgiven, totally accepted, then we can abound therein in thanksgiving. Ephesians 3:17. Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, in regards to thanksgiving, Ephesians 5:18 and 20. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speak unto yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When I get distracted, and I can tell when my mind starts getting distracted, going on that side road that we really got no business being on, that's when I start focusing on the Lord. And then the Lord will bring me back to the center of the road. And then I'm not all stressed out. Because when you get frustrated and you get angry, the wheels just want to fall off. Nothing goes right then. Especially if you're trying to repair something. It can be a nightmare. That's when you got to just take a time out and say, okay, Lord, just take a breath. Colossians 3:16. This is another verse. It's just similar to the one we just read. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The only way the word of Christ can dwell in you richly is if you know the word of God, is if you studied it, if you've applied it. You know, like Rick said earlier, that the inner man, it's being built up. As you read the word of God and you believe it by faith, it builds up on the inner man, reflects to the mind. So when the pressures of life come, the stress and the worry and all those things come, the inner man is speaking to the mind and gets you refocused. Because Satan, he wants nothing more than for you to be totally distracted. You know, when I'm on my way home, and sometimes even in the morning when I'm to work and I'm at a stop sign, I'll take a look at the people next to me. And I'll tell you what, some of them are so stressed out, you can just see that they're just... And that's what life can do to you. It can literally rob you of who you are in Christ. My wife, she pulls me up from time, and I pull her up from time. I can tell when she's stressing. She's back there like... I can tell when she's stressing, and she can tell me when I'm stressing. I say, hey, got to get back on course here. Because your mind will just get to racing and racing, and away it goes. First Thessalonians 5:16-18. And it's sad when I see these people, and some of my customers that way, and I talk to them, and you know, I thought I had one the other day and go on the path of right division, but then that all emails cease to exist. Communication, so, but maybe in time, you know, but the door was open, so I stepped through it, and it's rare that the door opens. Most people just Don't want to hear it. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything given thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That can be a challenge. But you know what? When you take that verse and you apply it to a bad situation, you'd be amazed how it slowly turns around. How you look at that situation, that's not the end of the world. That's only temporal. Everything is just temporal here. You know, I've seen some people that are just so tight-fisted with every possession they have. You can't take it with you. You know? You're either going to take it up or take it down. You can't take it with you either way. It's going to stay right here. And the last one I have is on suffering. 2 Corinthians 3:5. 2 Corinthians 3:5. And this is probably the most challenging for me. 2 Corinthians 3:5. 3 through 5. No, that's not right. Well, I'll read it. I've got to print it out, but I don't have the right verse down. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. It's 2 Corinthians 1. It just dawned on me. 2 Corinthians 1. 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. You know, Pastor Rick mentioned last week that, you know, there's some things in his life that he hasn't experienced yet, but someone in the congregation may have experienced a situation where another member of the congregation may be suffering in that, and that person could minister better than Rick could because they've partaken of that particular suffering. Physical suffering, when it comes to physical suffering, I'm horrible. My wife will tell me, she says, you're the biggest baby when you're sick, you know. But you know what? I got one of the best nurses in Arizona, so I take advantage of her because she takes care of me when I get ill. And I don't get ill that I don't get sick that frequently, so it's not like she's constantly doing it. But I'm not a very good nurse when she gets sick. You know, I'll ask her a few things, but I know that I'm not. But I've got an excellent nurse, and I'm thankful for that. 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 through 17. 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. And 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 18. And there's times where this light affliction, for our light affliction, which is but a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And in the midst of a situation, boy, I'll tell you what, it doesn't seem like a light affliction. But then when you realize, wait a minute, God's word said it's a light affliction. And I got to rest in that light affliction. And I got to realize that God's word's not lying. It's true. And get my mind perceived on the reality that it is a light affliction. So Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. There was a time where we didn't have that opportunity in time past. Without God, no hope. But who we are in Christ Jesus and the gospel, the good news that He's presented to us for our identity today. What an honor. The ministry of reconciliation. What an honor. Ambassadors representing Him. You know, I fall short every day. I'll be the first to admit. I don't feel like no ambassador. But then when I realize I am an ambassador, I can focus on that. To have the mind of Christ, of who we are in Christ Jesus, and not let the course of this world, Satan, distract us in the worries, the financial, the stress, and all this other stuff, but to take each moment of each day and try to do the best that we can in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your word, Father. We thank You for the richness of Your word. The Father, You designed us. You know exactly what Your word does to the inner man, how it enriches us, allows us to stay focused, and presents us as new creatures in Christ Jesus, the ministry of reconciliation, ambassadors representing You here. Father, I thank You for each one of my brothers and sisters here and those viewing from the internet. I pray, Father, as we go, that we'd be mindful of the words that were read here today, and that they find a place in our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. 52, we can stand up. 52, we'll sing the first verse.